This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استوى تراصوا الله أكبر
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اللهم اسمك وتعالى ولا إله إلا أنت بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد فاستجاب لهم ربهم أني لا أضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى بعضكم من بعض فالذين هاجروا وأخرجوا من ديارهم وأوذوا في سبيلي وقاتلوا وقتلوا لأكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولأدخلنهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ثوابا من عند الله والله عنده حسن الثواب
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. ربنا لك الحمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. ربي اغفر لي وارحمني. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد، متاع قليل ثم مأواهم جهنم وبئس المهاد. لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها نزلا من عند الله، وما عند الله خير للأبرار. وإن من أهل الكتاب لمن يؤمن بالله وما أنزل إليكم وما أنزل إليهم خاشعين لله لا يشترون بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا، أولئك لهم أجرهم عند ربهم، إن الله سريع الحساب. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا لك الحمد، حمدا كثيرا.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا
لك
الحمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم. سبحان ربي العظيم. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم السلام عليك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه ونصير ولو كره الكافرون. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله والفضل ولا نعمة. ولا معطي لما منعت ولا معطي لما منعت. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما واجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. I think I need just to clarify that the objective of story night, we're going to primarily focus on the stories of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Some interesting stories, especially those stories that I found to be very inspiring growing up, right? That stayed in my psyche. Also, you know, we're not going to be necessarily focusing on the popular, well-known, famous companions, but rather the ones that, you know, most of us are not familiar with. And we're going to, every 3 to 4 weeks, inshallah, azza wa jal, we're going to focus on a female companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are great inspirational stories. The idea was to reconnect with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the point here is not to talk about the companion, his lineage, when he was born, how many children he had, how many times he got married, how many times he got divorced. This is not that the idea. We're just going to take one or two significant moments in his or her life involving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an interaction they had with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how that interaction impacted them, or how that interaction basically impacts us today, right? And what we can learn from that, inshallah. So that's the objective of it. This is not going to be a series on the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but these are, you know, various like episodes or scenes or, you know, moments in the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their interactions with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of these stories will be from the time when they were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, or the time when they were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, or how they first came in contact with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or what happened that inspired them, right? So we're going to take, there is not a specific order. I'm going to try to basically cover the Ansar and the Muhajireen and try to, last week we talked about a companion from who? From the Ansar, right? What was his name? Habbad ibn Fish. By the way, I have this, like, not necessarily, it's not a primary objective or goal, but I notice, mashallah, here in this community and many other communities, many of our children have these beautiful names, right? Yeah, and sometimes when I see like a little kid and his name is Khalid bin Walid, I was like, mashallah, you know, it's amazing, you know? It's just very inspirational. So it's also, but very often I see a kid, his name is Hudhaifa, for instance. Like, oh, Hudhaifa. Or he may say Huzaifa. So I said, no, you mean Hudhaifa. It's like, do you know who Hudhaifa is? Like, I don't know. You know? All right? So the idea also is to help, inshallah ta'ala, our children also connect with these companions that they carry their names, you know. So last week we talked about a companion by the name of Abbad ibn Bishr, radiallahu anhu wa arda, right? Abbad ibn Bishr. Was he Awsi or Khazraji? Was he from the Aws or Khazraj? Huh? Bani Abd al-Ashhad. Yeah, he was from the Aws. Radiallahu anhu wa arda. طيب. Today we're going to talk about a companion from Mecca. He's from Quraysh. As a matter of fact, one of his nicknames was Shaytan Quraysh. You know what Shaytan means? And you know what Quraysh means, right? I don't need to translate that. Shaytan, the Shaytan of Quraysh. Quraysh's devil. And the reason they used to nickname him that was because he was one of the most, one of the smartest, you know, just one of the smartest, most shrewd Meccans, right? Him and people like Amr ibn al-As were known for their, Amr ibn al-As actually was known as Dahiyatul Arab. What's Dahiyah in English? Right? So they used to call him Shaytan of Quraysh. And Quraysh, when actually, and he was, you know, played a very, very key role in the Battle of Badr. Not a key role, but he was, and his name comes up in the books of Sirah. Quraysh wanted to know how many people, the population or the size of the Muslim army, right? So they sent Umayr, this companion. They sent him. I said his name. I wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to reveal his name maybe towards the end. They sent Umayr ibn Wahb. They said, Shaytan Quraysh, go check. So he goes, right, around, he makes a big circle, he comes, he sees the army from distance, he comes back, he said they're about 300. They're a little more than 300. So he was able, just by just taking a look at them from distance, to tell the size of the army. And they said, okay, did you see any signs that there is reinforcement coming? He said, no. However, right, what I saw was worse than a reinforcement. رأيت المطايا تحمل المنايا، نواضح يثرب تحمل الموت الناقع، قوم ليس معهم إلا سيوفهم. He said, no, I saw worse than that. What I saw was people riding these camels or whatever they're riding, but they're bringing death with them. That's what I saw. It's a group of people, a small group of people, 300. We may outnumber them, right? But a small group of people, the only thing they have is what? Their swords. And they're not going to go down before they kill as many of us as we are going to kill from them. And if they manage to do that, then if we lose one third of our army, then what's the point? فَمَا خَيْرَ فِي الْعَيْشِ إِذَن. The caravan is safe. Now, we heard Abu Sufyan made a maneuver. He's on his way to Mecca. Quraysh, we need to go back. We have no business fighting these people. These people are ready to die in defending their prophet. So when he said that, many of them were convinced. He said, you know what, you're right. Right? No point of fighting. Especially Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, who was the first person actually to go and to be killed the next day. So they said, okay. So they changed their mind. Except there was one guy that, subhanAllah, Allah brought him for his demise. Right? Abu Jahl. When Abu Jahl heard this, and as they were getting ready to leave, he came and he basically instigated, you know, he reminded them of their, you know, some incident that happened, you know. Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami, his brother, he's like, how could you? We're almost there. We're not going to go back until we scare them off, until we camp there for 3 days, and until we sit there and we celebrate this victory and let the entire Arabian Peninsula know that no one can mess with us. He's just showing off. Obviously, and the next day he was amongst those who were killed. So anyways, Umayr ibn Wahb managed to go back, to survive the next day. Perhaps because he knew, maybe he wasn't even into it to begin with. So he managed to go back. What happened was that Umayr, actually, his uncle was amongst those who were killed. Does anyone know who his uncle was? His own uncle. Umayyah. You guys heard of Umayyah? Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Umayyah. So he went back to Mecca. His son was captured as a prisoner. Right. And when Umayr went back to Mecca, he one day ran into his cousin, Safwan. Safwan ibn Umayyah, whose father was killed. And this, by the way, was not necessarily after Badr. This was later, right? So Umayr was sitting, and Umayr and Safwan started to talk about and remember, you know, Ashab al-Qalib. Dhakaru Ashab al-Qalib. Qalib is basically the well. It was a well in, an old well in Badr, that the bodies, al-Qalib bi'r fi Badr, suhibat ilayhi jiyafu kuffar Makkah walqayt fi. The bodies of the Meccans who were killed there from Quraysh, the Mushrikeen, were all pulled and buried there. So the two started to talk about, you know, what happened, the loss, those who were killed there, Safwan's father, you know. And Umayr said to Safwan, you know, if it wasn't that I have some debt, and that I have children, little children, I would have gone to Medina and killed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Safwan seized the opportunity. He said, guess what? He said, if that's the only thing that is getting in the way, your children are my children. I'll take care of them. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about them. And Safwan was very wealthy. And your debt is taken care of. I'm going to pay it off. If you can take care of this mission. Umayr said, okay. So he went home, sharpened his sword, and then dipped it, right, in poison. Right. And then he went to Medina. When he reached Medina, the first person that he ran into as he approached the central part of Medina was who? None other than Umar. And Umar used to hate the Meccans. And he used to hate the Kufar. And this guy in particular, he knows him very well. Right? So he said, what brought you here? He said, I came here to free my son. You have him as a prisoner. So I'm here to negotiate, the release of my son. And he said, and why do you have your sword with you? He said, these swords didn't do anything for us in Badr anyways, But you need a sword. So Umar grabbed him. You see, the swords had what? A strap. That they used to hang it around their shoulder with a strap. So Umar grabbed the strap of the sword and the back, and grabbed him, right? And held him. And Umar was big. And dragged him to the Prophet ﷺ. Just to show him that, listen, you're not going to be able to fool us here. We're watching you. So when he brought him to the Prophet ﷺ, said, Ya Rasulullah, this is Umair. He came and he has a sword around his neck. And the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and he said to him, Umar, release him. Let go of him. So Umar lets go of him. And there were some Ansar standing there. He said, keep an eye on him. I don't trust this pig or this whatever he called him. He actually later called it. He said when he first came, he said, I would have rather, right, welcomed a pig than welcome him. This is what Umar said later. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and he said, he said to him, "Imtum sabahan." This was a greeting in Jahiliyyah that they used to, it means good morning. Yani. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah azza wa jal gave us a better greeting than your greeting." Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, tahiyyatu ahli al-jannah. It's the greeting of the people of Jannah. The Prophet is making a point, he's neutralizing him. And then he said to him, Umair, what brought you here? He said, I came here to free my son. هذا الأسير الذي عندكم. So he said, Umair, get closer. And whenever the Prophet says, get closer, so now the Prophet is showing him that he's not scared of him. So he said, Umair, tell the truth. What brought you here? He said, ما هو إلا ذاك. That's the only thing. He said, بل قعدت أنت وصفوان. He said, no, you're lying. You and Safwan sat في الحجر. You know the Hijr around the Kaaba, right? You and Safwan sat in the Hijr. فذكرتما أهل القليب. And you remembered, you started talking and mentioning those who were buried in the well in Badr. And you complained about your debt and about your children, and Safwan promised to take care of them and to pay off your debt. And you vowed to come and kill me. And that's what you brought your sword for. When he said that, وَاللَّهُ حَائِلٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ or وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. He said, and Allah Azza wa Jal will stop you. Or Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will protect me from you. Or Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will get... In other words, Allah is between you and whatever you intended to do. Allah will not let you do it. When Umair said this, of course, heard this, of course, he was shocked. And he screamed, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I bear witness that you're the messenger of Allah. You used to tell us things that we used to deny and reject in Mecca. And he used to say that they were from Allah and we didn't believe you. And by Allah, there was no one with me and Safwan when we were sitting near the Kaaba. And it could not be anyone. No one could have told you this except Allah. Right? أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And I'm glad that I made this trip for Allah Azza wa Jal brought me to this moment. And he submitted. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take your brother, teach him Islam, and release his prisoner, or release his son. Give him his son. His son had not accepted Islam. Right? He was a prisoner. He had not accepted Islam. Give him his son, and teach him Islam, and let him go. Umar, that's when Umar said, subhanAllah, when this man came, he said, right, a pig was dearer to me than him. And now, instantly, that same day, right, and now he's one of the most beloved people to my heart. And subhanAllah, there was a connection between him and Umar. Because Umar's story The way Umar came to Islam as well. Same thing, Umar had his sword and he was on his way to the Prophet ﷺ to kill him. When he was stopped, then he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. So there was a connection. So Umar said, when this pig came, no, he didn't say, when this guy came, أن ألقى خنزيرا كان أحب إلي من أن ألقى. And he said, Subhanallah, he's about to leave now, after he stayed with them for a little bit. He's about to leave, and he's one of the most beloved people to my heart. And they were concerned about his safety when he goes back, because when he went back, of course, he had to deal with his cousin, Safwan, and he told him, listen, I accepted Islam. And this is what happened. And he tried, actually, he became an advocate, right? And he tried, but Safwan would not accept Islam. As a matter of fact, eventually he was the reason Safwan, his cousin, accepted Islam. Safwan, when the Prophet ﷺ took Mecca, Safwan ran away. And he went to modern-day Jeddah. He went to Jeddah, stayed there. And it was Umayr ibn Wahb, his cousin, that went, spoke to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, you know, I want you to give Safwan amnesty. Right? I'm going to bring him back. And he vowed for him. Or he vouched for him. And then he brought him back to the Prophet ﷺ, and Safwan accepted Islam. And when Safwan accepted Islam, you know, he wasn't really into it initially, but then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his heart, radiyallahu anhum wa radahum. Umayr ibn Wahb lived in Mecca, and in the Battle of Hunayn, he took a very strong stance in support of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when people started to run away. And he eventually died during the Khilafat of Umar radiyallahu anhu in Mecca. This was Umayr ibn Wahb. Ibn Umayyah or Ibn Khalaf al-Jumahi, right? The story of him. Subhanallah. Any questions? Jazakum Allah khairan. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.